Good morning, and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at OFPlaw.com. And please subscribe to my blog on tax, estate planning, and business planning issues at blueprintforwealth.org. And also, I invite you to read my Blueprint for Wealth column every Friday, the first Friday of every month in the Washington Business Journal, where we'll focus on topics of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning. Now, I've been getting a lot of repeat questions from our listeners and from our clients about the meaning of a living will. What is a living will? Is it a will that you make when you're alive that takes effect when you're alive? Or is it some kind of replacement for a will, like a living trust? Or does it have to do with something completely different? Well, let me tell you, a living will, which is the title of a document, is commonly used to refer to a document that expresses your desires and your preferences about the medical treatment that you want if you become incapacitated. In other words, you're unable to communicate your instructions about your health care during a terminal illness, or if you're in a persistent vegetative state, which means that you're permanently unconscious. Now, the term still remains in use in many jurisdictions, such as Florida, but it's fallen out of favor, so you see a different name for this document. It might be referred to as a healthcare proxy, or as an advanced medical directive, or a healthcare power of attorney. But we often like to separate it into a separate living will document because some jurisdictions actually require a separate living will. Living wills are not concerned with matters beyond specifying the wishes that you have regarding medical treatment in these very, very dire times of being terminally ill or in a persistent vegetative state. And a living will is considered to be one kind of advanced directive relating to your healthcare decision making. An advanced directive is defined as a written instruction that's recognized under state law, such as a living will or a durable power of attorney over healthcare. And it basically is very important in that it takes effect when you don't have the ability to communicate your wishes. The very first living wills that we had helped people who wanted a natural death unattended by artificial life support and other advanced medical techniques. As the living wills became more popular and widely available under local law, they also included other healthcare concerns, such as tube feeding, heroic resuscitation, and organ donation. While living wills are allowed in all 50 states and the District of Columbia, they sometimes have to follow certain formalities in order to be effective. In fact, most states have their own living will statutes, and failure to follow the statutory requirements in that state concerning the form of living will could render the document invalid. Now think about being in Florida when you have something desperate happen to you, such as you're suffering from a terminal illness and you're no longer able to communicate, but you executed your living will in Virginia. Is the Virginia living will valid? Again, it depends on what formalities it was executed in and whether or not you actually satisfy Florida law in terms of the living will provisions that you have in your document. Most state living will statutes have to be read together with the state laws relating to durable powers of attorney over health care and advanced directives. And it's very important to know that all states do not define some very important terms such as advanced directive or living will or even terminal condition. Exactly the same and different terms could be used in different ways depending on where you live. Now, since a living will could involve complex legal issues, you really want to consult with a lawyer who's licensed to practice in your state and who really knows about living wills. Many people believe that living wills only direct healthcare providers to withhold treatment, but that's not true. While many people choose to issue that kind of instruction, a living will also allows you to ask for all available treatment options and medical techniques, or to choose some medical options and reject others. For example, some people want to have intubation and to have hydration and nutrition provided to them, even if they're terminally ill and no longer able to speak. Almost everybody wants pain medication administered to them so that they're comfortable and that they have they're not suffering in their last days. A living will cannot legally take effect, however, unless you, as the patient, are diagnosed as terminally ill and death is imminent, meaning in a matter of hours or even days, or when you, as the patient, are medically determined to be permanently unconscious, that is, in a persistent vegetative state, and therefore not able to communicate what your medical preferences are. Now, remember that a living will is an instruction only. It does not appoint the decision maker in the event of your incapacity. We use the durable power of attorney over healthcare or the advanced medical directive to appoint the person who's making those decisions for you. They're also sometimes called the healthcare proxy. The document gives your agent or your attorney, in fact, legal power to make healthcare decisions for you in the event that you can't make those decisions yourself. A durable power of attorney for healthcare is different than a living will. It may direct the attorney, in fact, your agent, to carry out the living will's instructions, or it may allow the attorney, in fact, to use his or her own judgment regarding your care. Durable powers of attorney over healthcare can be used whenever you need to grant a power and can't make your own healthcare decisions. It doesn't depend on terminal illness like a living will. It doesn't depend on the fact that death is imminent or that you're permanently a vegetable and no longer able to communicate in any way, shape, or form. By appointing somebody to serve as your substitute decision maker, you, as the patient, don't have to address every single treatment option and medical condition known to man because you leave it up to somebody who you trust to make those decisions. And you, as the patient, are protected in the event new procedures become available later on, because medical technology is always changing and new advances are always coming into existence. So you want to draft your document to leave your agent in power to do things such as cryotherapy or preserving organs for future cloning even. Most estate planning attorneys will recommend that you have not only a living will, but also an advanced medical directive or general durable power of attorney over healthcare to ensure that you're taking care of all of your needs. Now, Virginia in particular has recently upgraded and updated its power of attorney statute dealing with healthcare decisions. Instead of just limiting you to deciding on very broad decisions that the agent would have the power to engage in, you can actually append a list of items that you want to take into consideration in the event that you become incapacitated. So, for example, let's say you have Alzheimer's disease or another type of dementia, which has progressed to the point where you don't recognize your loved ones anymore and your spoon feeding is no longer possible. Do you want to be fed by a tube? You need to answer those questions. Or what if you're seriously ill and chemotherapy that's recommended by the doctors is going to have a severe side effect on you, such as pain or nausea or vomiting or weakness, and that those side effects could last for 2 or 3 months? Would you want to endure the side effects if your chance of regaining your current health is less than 1%? What if your chances are less than 10%? What if they're less than 50%? So that's going to affect some of the choices you're making in your treatment. Let's say you have a clearly terminal condition. You've got terminal cancer. But the severe side effects of chemotherapy, which I just described, are pain, nausea, vomiting, and weakness, may provide you with an additional 6 months of life so that you can be with your loved ones for that longer period of time. Would you then want the chemotherapy? How about the following? Let's say you've got moderate dementia, so you're in and out of knowing where you are, who your loved ones are, and it's causing you some mental confusion, but about half the time you're able to recognize and interact with your friends and loved ones. If you develop gangrene in a leg and the doctors recommend that you amputate the leg because the condition otherwise could be fatal, do you want the surgery or not? These are some of the many, many questions that you should be asking yourself, that you should be sitting down with your estate planning lawyer to talk about and to document in your advanced medical directive, in your living will, in supplements to those. In fact, Virginia now encourages individuals to do that. If you'd like to know more about living wills and advanced medical directives, durable powers of attorney, and other estate planning topics, please visit my blog at www.blueprintforwealth.org. And if you'd like to make an appointment with one of our several estate planning and elder law lawyers at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, please do so by giving us a call at 703-218-2100, and we'll be glad to make an appointment for you. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth, brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman.